So, like we said, Torah Lamed Zayin 37, still in part Gimel, third part.
So, fourth line on the left side, the left column. If a man is separating himself from the last of his foundations, so by that he is increasing the wisdom, והצורה, and the light of his soul, והאור, and the light, והזיכרון, and the memory, means to remember Hashem. Adam, a man, a human being, he becomes to be a human being. וזה שאמרו רבותינו ז"ל, and on that רבותינו said, אגרא דתענית צדקתא, the gain, the reward of the fast, is the charity, is to give charity. כי צדקה רמז לאור, because charity is hinting us to remember the light, כמו שכתוב, like that it's written in Malachi, וזרחה לכם, was glowing, illuminating for you, יראה שמי, the ones that believes in me, afraid of me, שמש צדקה, the son of charity. It's written in the Navi, כי החושך, that the darkness יחסה ארץ, gonna cover the land, וערפי לאומים, and the fog, the clouds, gonna cover all of the nations, ועלייך יזרח אדוני, וכבודו עלייך יראה, and on you, God gonna illuminate, and his honor gonna be seen on you. Those are those righteous people, יראה שמי, the one that's הבירת שמיים, against all logic, you can walk in the darkness and to see the light. Against all nature, you can be in the lowest place in the world and to feel and to know that you're in the greatest place in the world. That you're with Hashem, you can feel that Hashem Yitbarach is with you, you don't lack of nothing. And then you become to be with superpowers. All of the prayer, all the power, the secret of how prayer has been answered, it depends on how much faith you have in Hashem when you pray to Him. If you're talking to someone now and you're not counting on Him that He's going to give you, you don't believe that He wants to help you, so you're never going to be able to convince Him. But if you are strong in that and you know that that person that you speak with, He loves you and He cares about you, mamash, and you feel it and you know it, every word that you're going to say, I'm going to enter immediately inside into his heart. People that are praying for a long, long time on things that are not being answered, they need to stop for a minute and to think, what am I doing? Maybe something is wrong in the way that I'm praying. Maybe I need to count on Hashem more. Maybe I need to understand, who am I talking with? Hashem Yitbarach is the one that wants to give you. He's the one that loves you. No prayer will not going to be answered if you stand in that with that wisdom. If you're talking to Hashem Yitbarach like you talk to the one that loves you, to the one that cares about you, every prayer is going to be answered. Every prayer. Because it cannot be that we're going to think so many bad things on Hashem Yitbarach all of the time, to blame Him on all of our lackings and to think that we're praying and not being answered. It's not exist. Just there is only one thing. That thing is that we are distracted. We're not concentrated. We're not focusing on the fact that Hashem is good. If you're going to know for sure that Hashem is good, you can cross the ocean. You can cross the Sahara Desert. You don't need to think. You can cross the jungles. You don't need to be afraid of nothing. You just walk and you hold Hashem Yitbarach in your hand. You just hold Hashem Yitbarach. Last week, a friend of mine from the yeshiva, someone that really loves me, no doubt about it, he rebuked me very much, Baruch Hashem. He gave me a huge gift. And I took it seriously, Baruch Hashem. I took it to the field. And I was at night in the tzion of Rav Levovich, and I was doing a long itbodedut, and I prayed. And while I was confessing and doing tshuva, I remembered that time that I was in a lot of sorrow. I was regret. I made tshuva, And I remember that time that I prayed and I was speaking to Rav Shalom in the field and I was counting on him that he hears me, and I was talking to him. And in the morning after, Rav was talking to me out of that conversation that I had with him at night in the field, in the forest of Yar Yerushalayim. And I said to myself at that night, a few days ago, that for sure Rav can feel my sorrow, for sure, for sure. I felt that I'm so sorry that for sure Rav can feel me now. I didn't have a doubt about it. And in the day after, I was driving with my wife. She came with me. I went to give the class in Tel Nof, in the Air Force Base. And she went shopping. And on the way back, I'm telling her a little bit about the Bodhidut yesterday. I didn't tell her the details, just I told her that I'm sure that Arab was with me yesterday night in the Bodhidut. And while I'm saying that, Arab called. And Arab is telling me, Dror Moshe, what are you doing? I told him, I'm on the way from Tel Nof to Jerusalem. He said, okay. Told him, you need something, Arab? Can I do something for you? He said, no. No, thank you, and closed the phone, and I hanged up the phone. So of course a man wants to chase after himself, he wasn't sensitive enough, I don't understand what Arab wanted, and on and on and all of the yetzerara. But I said to my wife, you know, I don't have the powers for that. Let's just say, what did we know for sure? We just spoke about Arab, we said that Arab felt us, and Arab felt us, and Arab called, and this is it, this is what that we do have. I finished saying that, the phone is ringing again, it's Arab again. He's telling me, so when are you going to come back to Jerusalem? I told him at 3, until 3, Bezrat Hashem. He said, alright, so if you come until 3, so come to my house. He said, alright. Driving fast as I can, Baruch Hashem. This is it, it's another story now. And I came to his house, and I will complete the story, but it wasn't my the reason I told you that, but I'm going to complete the story first. So I came to Arav's house, and then came out from the house someone that I wasn't sure that I want to talk to him. And he came out from the house, and I was standing outside, and that person came and started to talk to me, and I'm thinking to myself, if to say, if not to talk, what to say, what not to say, and I'm thinking. And then I decided to myself that I will say what that I have to say, and I'm not going to be afraid, and I will say what that I have to say to that person. And I'm just about to open my mouth, and Rav is coming out from the house, from his house, and he's shouting at me. And Rav never shouted at me, never, Baruch Hashem. And he shouted at me, you don't see that I'm in a rush, what's going on with you? out of the blue, you say, out of this world at all, mamash, not exist, never happened, cannot happen, even if I'm reminding myself that, it cannot be. So immediately I dropped that person for sure, happily ran into Rav's house, and I just apologize, I'm apologizing, I'm sorry Rav, and I'm looking at him and he's smiling like nothing happened. He just wanted me not to talk. He just stopped me from talking to that person. And I came inside, and he's telling me things and what he wants me to do, and if I can help him in this and that and what to do. And I told him, yes, of course. And then he was in a rush and he went out. And he looks at me and he tells me, what's going on? So I told him, Rav, I need life. I need life. It means happy and happiness. I need to feel alive. So he told me, you're connected with me to the heart. Ata mechubar elai balev. You're connected to me in the heart. You just need to say Ashrenu. You just need to be happy in that. And from that moment and on, it was a huge chizuk for me, for sure, to see the divine spirit of Rav Shalom again, and to see how much he cares, and how much really he cares. And to see how he's a mamash, a genius, to know how to do things and to work out situations in amazing ways. And also to receive that chizuk on Baruch Hashem, on the connection and on the love and on all of those things that are so important. From that moment and on, mamash, my life toward Shabbos, mamash just went lower and lower and lower and lower and lower, and mamash had one of the hardest Shabbos I ever had in my life, Baruch Hashem. And very, very hard, very, very hard. A lot of issues, a lot of mamash, and darkness. Darkness that you, vayamesh choshech, that you can feel the darkness. Mamash, you can taste the darkness, you can smell the darkness. You everywhere, in every situation, in the kiddush, in everything, mamash, with the children, with my wife, in every situation, darkness and darkness and darkness. And only after Shabbos, even after Motzei Shabbat, only this morning, I'm praying the brachot of the Kriyat Shema. I'm saying the brachot of the Kriyat Shema, and I'm saying to myself that I want to do it, but I want to talk to Hashem, and I'm stuck in the words of the brachot, and you're not allowed to talk over there, and I don't know what to do with myself because I need to. I have stuff to say to Hashem. What's going on? And mamash, I decided that I will not going to speak during the brachot, but Hashem decided differently, and I didn't want to talk between the brachot, but I did, and I didn't. Mamash, words came out from my mouth, and I just said those words to Hashem. Hashem, in the middle of the last bracha. Of the bracha of Gal Israel, and then I stood up 18, and I said to Hashem Yitbarach during the bracha, I just said those words. I said, Hashem, you can bring all kinds of darkness into the world, but the truth is that you are here, you exist, you are with me, you are with me now, and you're going to be with me always. And it made me so happy that I could pray, because before that I couldn't pray. Everything was closed. Everything was closed. And in that moment, mamash, I was so happy, and I could pray. And I prayed Shmona Esrei. I said, Baruch Atah Hashem, God Israel, and I was standing Shmona Esrei. When I finished my Shmona Esrei, I turned over. From that you can hear that I wasn't in shul. My wife was there. She looked at me. She said, I don't have the powers for your exaggerated happiness now. She saw, I haven't said a word. But it fixed everything. It fixed everything. It fixed everything. One of the friends asked me last week, Rav, if you're doing so much, how can it be that you don't have shalom bayit? So I told him, I have the best shalom bayit in the world. So, question mark, how can it be? You have so many fairy tales on your story, on your life story, so how can it be that you call it, you define this shalom bayit in the end? So I answered to that friend of mine, of us, that shalom bayit, it's not the shalom bayit that we're talking, that we see in the movies, that everything is blooming and they're holding hands and walking with their short skirts and how you said of them, blorit. There is no name to that ugly
Pompadour
thing that they're putting in front.
Pompadour.
It's called a chup.
This is not shalom bayit. Shalom bayit is when the husband, you can call him peace. You can call him, you can say that he's a talmid of Rav Shalom, that he is always his face, like David HaMelech said, Ani Shalom, I'm peace. V'chi adaber, will I speak, will I talk? They're coming to fight. Everyone can fight with you. Even your wife can fight with you. If you are peace and you are a man of peace, you have peace in your house. Peace is the name of Hashem. You need to have Hashem Yitbarach in your house. And then it doesn't matter what goes on. Like the Rabbanit said to Rav Shalom a few years ago, it's not fun to fight with you. You never answer back. It's not fun. He's not fighting. He's not fighting with no one. No matter what you're going to do to him, how much you're going to make him angry and you're going to try to push him. He's not there in that place. He's not there. He loves you. He cares about you. He's looking for ways how to do tshuva, how to take responsibility on the lackings that he sees in the house. I had issues with my elder son in Shabbos. I looked at it. I said to my wife this morning, all of his issues, I recognize them from my childhood. All of his stuff, all of his problems, I know myself, it's me. I can see myself in the elder son, in the second son, in everyone, it's me. So why to chase after them, or why to blame them. A man that wants to do tshuva, he's taking his issues to the field and fixing them. And when you do that, you illuminate everything, no problems anymore, this is it. If not, so how are you going to fix one Shabbos that went lost? How are you going to? You cannot fix it. If really you're stuck in that Shabbos, if you fight with your wife, how many people, because of one fight, because of one problem, this is it. It ruined one crisis that they had in life, and they couldn't get over it, and this is it. Us, we can get over on everything, no matter what, chas v'shalom. Because we're moving on. Rabbeinu said that he started so many times a new start in his life. We have to learn how to do that. Don't look at your past. It passed, it went. This is it. You have your 1 hour in Bodedut, confess on it, do tshuva. I'm sorry, Hashem. This is it. I regret. I cannot do more than that. Move on. Believe in that power of that advice of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And we're not talking enough about Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We're talking and talking because we're inside of Rabbeinu, so we're talking like there is no Rabbeinu, but we're talking only Rabbeinu all of the time. The truth is that every advice that Holy Rabbi Rabbeinu HaKadosh gave us is so powerful that you cannot cross the world without that advice. And you're going to use it. One day you're going to need that advice. One day you need to wake up. One day you need to learn that you have to go to sleep. Like that wonderful Midrash that Rav Shalom brought to us on four kings. Four kings, the David HaMelech, and Asa, and another king, and Chizkiah. Four kings that all of them dealt with the war in a different way. David HaMelech said, "Erdof oivai v'ashmidem, velo ashuv ad kalotam." I'm gonna chase after my enemies, and I'm not coming back until I'm killing them all, finishing them. This is David HaMelech. He had the power, and Hashem answered to him, "I'm with you. Go fight. I'm with you." And he went and done. The second king said, "I don't have the power to kill them. I'm just going to chase after them, and you're going to kill them." And then they're bringing in that midrash the verses that showing that Hashem said, "I will be with you." And he chased after them, but Hashem killed them in the end. A third king said, "I don't have the power even to chase after them. I'm just going to sing to you, I'm going to praise you, and you're going to do everything." And they're bringing the verses that really this is what had happened. He was praising Hashem Yitbarach, and at night, angel of Hashem came and killed all of the camp of enemies. Fourth king, it was Chizkiah HaMelech, that he said to Hashem Yitbarach, "I don't even have power to sing. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep, Hashem, and you're going to fight for me." And he went to sleep, and Hashem was fighting and killing the enemy. This is it. So who is higher? You're going to say David HaMelech is higher. He's got more powers. But actually, they're holding the same level. Because every one of them, he knew the powers that he had. Every one of them, Hashem answered to him. It's the proof that Hashem was with him in 100%. There is one that got the powers to go, to fight, to wrestle with his Yetzer Hara. There is one that is... He can sing, he's got the powers to thank Hashem, to praise Hashem. There are people that don't have even that power. They have to have confidence that even if they now, before of their 1 hour, they're going to go to sleep, going to do Areni Mekasher and going to go to sleep, Hashem is going to answer their prayers. I'm holding that level. What can I do? I need to know, first of all, before I'm even thinking about finding powers to know that Hashem is going to be with me, I have to know that for sure, first of all, before I'm ready to fight, to check how many powers I do have, first of all, I have to know Hashem is here. So that Hashem is here, it means that I'm not doing nothing and Hashem is here. Everyone has to have that solid understanding in his brain. Mamash, nail it into the walls from inside of your skull, of your brain, that Hashem is here with me, never gonna leave me, was with me, he's with me now, and he will be with me forever, no matter what. And not to fall from that. How can it be that the huge rabbi, Mr. Shalom Arush, is always happy? You know how many difficulties this person got in his life? You know what he's going through in his life? Harav Berlan, now they set him free. in Holland, in Amsterdam.
Baruch Hashem.
Crazy stories, not crazy stories. You know what he went through, and it's not over yet. But looks like the Baruch Hashem on the right way. He had a way to fly from South Africa to Russia with a private jet. And he refused. He said, no, I want to go to Amsterdam. And we want to go to Amsterdam. We need to enjoy it, to go to Amsterdam. A few days before Rosh Hashanah. He said he wants to go to Amsterdam. He went to Amsterdam I want to hear you.
To give me a wish, I don't know.
That's too fine. This is it.
On the airport.
This is it. On the airport. Immediately, cops came, arrested him, took him to prison. What's going on? He wanted to be arrested over there. And after 2 days over there of bringing lawyers and everything from South Africa, from Eretz Israel, I don't know what, and they set him free. He knew. In the 2 days that he'd been arrested over there in Amsterdam, everyone said, how can it be? What's going on? He could be normal now. Why he went to Amsterdam? After 2 days, he's set free. And this is it. And the zoo in Eretz Israel has been cancelled for now. Everything is frozen. Everything is quiet now. So, you see that if a person got spirit, divine spirit, the holy eyes, holy wisdom, he can see things. 2 months ago in South Africa, there was a wedding of one of his Hasidim. While he was there in the wedding, he came to one of the Avrechim with white beard, white peot, told him, listen, you take my talit now, you wrap yourself, and you go, and you go from there, and you sit over there in that table. To all of the Hasidim, he's saying, look, leave me alone now, I'm going to pray Shmona Esrei, go with him like he's Rav Berland now. All right? All saying, yes, yes, Arab, whatever you say. Arab took one of his students, went out to pray Shmona Esrei Ma'ariv, to pray Ma'ariv. All of that group are following Arab, not Arab, that Rav, going over there. While Arab Berland is standing Shmona Esrei in a different corner, in the same hall, in the same place. Cops came all over the place, jumped on that person, arrested him, took all of the group that was with him into the car, and Rav is standing Shmona Esrei like that. Glued to Hashem, relax. That person told me, the one that was with him told me that Thursday night. Told me I was with him to see, he said, leave the fact that he had such a divine spirit to know what's going to happen and everything. And 1 week before, he said to the one that had the wedding, let's push the wedding 1 week later. And he told him, no, I cannot. He saw it all. He knew everything 1 week before already. Drop that. To see him praying Shmona Esrei in the same place. What, there was two helicopters flying in the air and motorcycles outside, an automatic weapon with lasers and crazy situation, something wild, mamash, crazy, and everything over there. And he said to people before that when they're coming, to when the police is going to come, to leave the area with 4 or 5 cars. And he arranged it all, and the police were chasing after those cars, and he's over there standing for Shmona Esrei. Yeah. And they went and they lost and nothing, and he entered to another car and went back to the hotel, and like nothing happened. And they're going through, and they're suffering from their own families, and they have difficulties from inside and from outside, and the students of them are breaking them to pieces, mamash, you don't know. Students, it can be a lot of righteous people fell from their level because of their students. Because the students were so admiring their rabbis, and they were admiring them and gave them the power to be righteous, to be important, that those rabbis, those righteous people, become to be arrogant in a certain way. They started to believe that really they have powers and there's something and they're making miracles and all right, I will gonna pray on you and imaginations like you exist at all. And you not exist. It's only Hashem kindness. So a lot of rabbis even fell from that. So another enemy can be the one that loves you, the one that cares about you, the one that gives you money, the one that supports you, the one that believes in your prayers. So they can be your enemies to make you stupid to think that you exist at all, that you're worth something in the world, that you're not something and you're nothing. You not exist. So you see, Rav Shalom is smiling always. You see, Rav Berland is crossing the ocean and getting over difficulties on top of difficulties. And everyone got so many adventures in his life. There is only one solution: to believe that Hashem is good. And not to try to understand it with the wisdom, with the sechel. You cannot. If you want to, it's a lost from the beginning. It's a lost fight from the beginning. No chance. You will never going to be able to understand Hashem. Even in the world to come, you will never going to be able to understand Him. Hashem Yitbarach, He, to His measure, to His size, there is no borders. You can never grab Him. Lo yirani Adam v'chai. You can never grab Hashem. You're so small. We're tiny. Like a drop of water in the endless ocean. One drop. We're nothing, we're not exist. The only way to understand Hashem is to cancel ourselves over and over, over and over, over and over and over, no matter what. No matter what. Even if you're going to be disappointed, even if you're going to be hurt, all of those are cause of your selfish will that you had before. Even to serve Hashem, like you thought that you should serve Hashem. Hashem wants you to serve Him in a different way. When Rav Elchanan came to the yeshiva, he was in the beginning. He was dressed like a mizruchnik, regular clothes, like you, and without that black suit and regular clothes, a religious person. And Rav Shalom told him that he needs to wear that long jacket and that hat and everything like Litvish, like Litai. He told him, so he asked him why I won't dress like a Hasid Breslev, like the yeshiva. He said, because I want you to have a different look, because you are the rabbi, Rav Posek of the yeshiva. So Rav Elchanan came, and the day after, looked totally different. So one of the Avrichim came to him and asked him, told him, Rav, why, what's happened? So he answered to him, Rav Shalom told me to change my outfit. He told him, and everything that Rav is telling you, you do immediately? He told him, even if you would tell me to wear a pink suit, I would wear it. What's the question? If you believe in your rabbi, you follow him. If you believe in your rabbi, you follow him. I told you that story on the helper of Rav Yudah Zev Levovich, that they came, Rav Shalom and Rabbi David Chaim Stern and Chacham Avraham Chai came to visit Rav Yudah Zev Levovich in his house. Suddenly they see the helper of Rav Levovich walking with a blue pajama in his house, bringing them to drink water and things. And they all looked at him, what's going on? Blue pajama? Now, so important people are here. And he, yes, with his blue pajama, walking the house. The driver that brought Rav Shalom took that helper to the side and asked him, why? What's going on with you? You don't see people are Rav Shalom, Rav Stern, Chacham Avraham Chai, your rabbi, Rav Levovich, what's right? Told him 30 minutes before you came, Rav Levovich told me, go wear a blue pajama because I want you to be insulted a little bit when the guests will come. Told him. One time Rav Shalom came to Rav Levovich, Rav Levovich looked at him, told him, you need to be punished. So Rav Shalom asked him, so, what to do? So he told him, go face the wall, go look at the wall, your face to the wall. And he was standing like that for half an hour with his face to the wall. Rav Shalom was standing with his face to the wall for half an hour. Can you understand that? I'm not sure that I can tell that. You need to understand that things are beyond our logic, beyond our wisdom. What do you think? You can cover Hashem, that you can understand Hashem. Who are we to understand Hashem? Rabbeinu said that the fact that people have questions on Hashem, it's a wonderful thing, because by that we can see that Hashem is a lot larger than us, a lot bigger, greater than us. Because it's written, Ilu yeda'ativ ha'itiv. If I knew Him, I was Him, I become to be Him. So you can never cover Hashem until you come to that place that you cancel yourself, that you accept Hashem. When you accept Hashem Yitbarach, you can see all of the time that it's Hashem. To know everything about Hashem, you cannot. But you can be with Hashem. How are you going to be with Hashem? It calls faith. And faith is in the nights, it is in the tests, is in the difficulties. And we need to, like that we said before, v'yadat hayom v'ashivot ha'ele v'avecha, to bring it back into the heart. This is our daily effort, daily work. You remember, you know. If you're just gonna think and check inside of yourself how much knowledge you already have, you're gonna understand that you know a lot. Even from 2 months here in the yeshiva, you have tons of information, of good, healthy knowledge that can do a lot of things with it. Already, from very short time. But, why look like that you look? Because you're not using the weapon that you have. You're not using. Like Rav Shalom gave that tale on a person that is not praying. He said the prince, the son of the king, he went and all of his clothes are torn and ruined and filthy. And people are asking him, why you look like that? He said, I don't have time to fix myself. They tell him, but you're the son of the king. You just need to ask and people will give you whatever you need. It's not. He said, I don't have time to talk to the king. You don't have time. You don't have time to think how many good advice you have. This is what it calls Choser Yishuv Hadat. When a man got Yishuv Hadat, he's in the field, he's talking, and again, not to come to the field to pray, to work, to achieve things in the field. The beginning of the Itbodedut, before you come to ask, before you come to claim what that you think that you deserve, it's to talk to Hashem. To come to a place that you say, alright, now everything is even. Now everything is good. Now you can start work on your things. Before everything is perfect, before everything is good, before that Hashem Yitbarach is in the picture, who are you praying to? With who are you talking? If you're talking to someone that is not there, you're talking to someone that doesn't love you, you talk to your enemy, you talk to the one that you blame him on everything, your prayers cannot be answered. You have to come first of all to that understanding that Hashem is good, and to come to that, I understand, you need to have a long Itbodedut. I know. But there is no other solution. Without that, what are you going to do? Hashem always going to be your enemy. Hashem always going to fight with you. Hashem always going to be the one that you're going to blame. Alright, so you're religious. You blame Hashem. You're not to blame people. Alright. Is it a higher level? It's not higher. It's pathetic to blame Hashem. But this is what that you do because you haven't figured all of figuring out all of your situations in life. You didn't make root canal. You didn't investigate it. Alright, I have that issue. And I don't know what to do with it. Alright, you need to come to an investigation, to think about it, to observe, to look, to think what Hashem is doing, to bring Hashem back into the picture. When you're going to have Hashem Yitbarach in the picture, you're going to feel happy. You are not going to have no stress anymore. You're going to be relaxed. And now you can pray. And now you're going to pray to someone that loves you. Now you're going to pray to someone that cares about you, to someone that wants to help you, not to someone that is making things behind your back, and what Hashem done to me, and what Hashem is doing, and what's going on, and oh, again Hashem is doing it to me. And it's not faith. It's not faith. It's emunot kozviot. It's tzitzak lashon hara on Hashem chas v'shalom. And when you come to that place, every darkness is going to illuminate like the day. Every difficulty, every lacking, huge, the biggest lacking of them all that you have in your life, is not a lacking at all. Derushim hem lechol cheftzem, they need it. To everyone that looks for the truth, they need it. You need those situations in your life. Without those darkness, without those weaknesses, without that poverty, without that stress, without that lack of understanding, without those doubts, without those fears, without all of those lackings that you have, you cannot get closer to Hashem. Because only when Hashem is going to answer to you on those things, only when you're going to be humble enough by going through all of your downs, all of your lackings, only by that you can come to that simple faith that Hashem is good. And for that, needed thousands of hours of Itbodedut. And there is no other solution. No other solution. But that is a solution. Because the Teva, the nature, is obligating to something. He's telling you, you are poor, and there is no way that you're going to have Parnasa. And the prayers, changing nature. Suddenly, you have a certain way. The nature is saying that you're not married, and you're over 30, and there is no chance that you're going to get married. And suddenly, the prayers are changing. And friends are telling me all of the time, are you talking to the English class about doing 6 hours? I told them I'm talking to them about doing thousands of hours.
6 hours. We forgot that concept already.
6 hours is very powerful. 1 minute, it's very powerful. Every moment that you are with Hashem is powerful, but you need to connect yourself to Hashem. You can have a gun and you don't know that you have it, you cannot use it. You can have millions of dollars in your drawer in the house and you don't know that it's there, and you will feel like you're going to live like a poor person. You don't know that you have it. You can be religious, you can be with Hashem, and not to enjoy what that Hashem can supply you, what that Hashem can give you. It depends in the love, in the connection. How much surface you and Hashem have that is touching, is connecting. How much you're connected to Hashem, it's how much you perceive, accept Hashem into your life. To accept Him as He is, as life are. Like that Hashem wants, to accept it. And if you need to think about it, and if you need to pray on it, and if you need to observe on that, and if you need to ask for an advice, and if you talk with friends for it, whatever you need that requires for you to come to that place that you're going to accept it, do it. Long conversations, short conversations, fasts, whatever, itbod eduyot, going to graves of tzaddiki, misiruyot nefesh. Rabbeinu is saying in Likutei Moharan, I was rebuking myself with that. Rabbeinu is saying in Likutei Moharan that all of the drivings, all of the trips that a man is driving are all because of lack of faith. And he gives examples for that. He's saying, Parnasa, you go, you drive to work to find your Parnasa because you don't believe that Hashem can bring the money into your house. To find the Shiduch, you drive, you go, you meet, you have dates. Why? Because you don't believe that Hashem can send your wife to knock on your door to ask you a bag of milk or something. You don't believe in that it can happen just like that. That your rabbi is going to call you and going to tell you, hey, I have a Shiduch for you. You don't believe in that. So you need to go and you need to check. And I thought to myself, how many times you drove to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to the north, to Rav Leibovitz, to do prayers, to Kibbutz Tzadikim. Why? Because you didn't believe that Hashem can save you when you sit in your house. That you can say, Hashem Yitbarach, I'm going to sleep and you're going to help me. Like Chizkiah HaMelech. You're dead tired and you need salvation. And you go on your car and you feel gas. And you drive for 3-4 hours. And you go and you pray at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai for another hour. And you drive back and you sleep in the... You're dead. You're beaten. But it's all because of lack of faith. It's will. This is last year we could talk and praise that prayer and to say that this is faith that you drive in Mesirut Nefesh and it's true. It's both true. But this is what we said last week, tshuva on tshuva. You do tshuva on the last tshuva. You do tshuva on how that you believed in Hashem Yitbarach yesterday. Today you believe in Him more. And it doesn't mean not to go. It means always to see that Hashem can help you more and that you need to work on your faith more. Like Rav Shalom said last week, if you remember, on Wednesday, that he made tshuva on the fact that he was praying that Hashem going to help him. Instead of having confidence, whatever Hashem wants, and just to sing to Hashem, just to pray, just to praise. He was praying, he was asking. For him, it's lack of faith. That you need help from Hashem. Oh, you're not sure that Hashem is helping you already. You have a lacking. You feel that Hashem left you. So you call him that you're going to come back. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with your faith. Faith is something that we need to work on it until we're going to be 120. Always, always, always to look how to believe in Hashem more and how to hand that faith to other people more and more and more. We're about to go to Uman. Maybe we're going to dedicate tomorrow's shiur or something to talk a little bit about Uman. So important not to waste that trip to Uman. So many things that we can achieve in Uman. So many things that a man can achieve. And again, Rabbeinu said, "Ken tishan, lo tishan, ken tocha, lo tocha." All of those things. You're gonna eat. You're not gonna eat. You're gonna sleep. You're not gonna sleep. You're gonna pray. He said, "You're gonna pray. You're not gonna pray." In Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu's got Torah that says that you need to pray with all of your powers. And in the other side, you have a conversation, Rabbeinu said, if you will pray, you're not going to pray. We need to understand. the faith is the answer of all. You need to come and you need to want to achieve everything. To have a good place to sleep in, a good place to eat in, a good place to pray in, everything. You need to prepare everything as much as you can. But when you get there,
it's a different story. Whatever Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to have that apartment, wonderful. Hashem wants you to have that food, great, super great. But whatever Hashem is going to decide. And when you accept things with faith, you can receive a lot more. Because you don't know. There is a person that comes and he thinks, he goes to the doctor, and he's sure that now the doctor is going to tell him something, that he needs to fast for 3 days, and after it he needs to change all of his diet, and I don't know what, for years. And to drop candies and whatever, and all of the hard things, the real hard things. And then he comes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him, you need to drink, I don't know what, mint, once a day in the morning, 1 spoon of olive oil, something like that. And he said, what, this is it? And he said, yes, for your disease, this is the cure. You don't need hard things. A lot of times we're coming and we think, if I'm not going to pray, how Rabbeinu going to save me? If I'm not going to do my 1 hour is what to do, how Hashem going to answer my... It's not like that. You have your own thing that you need to do. You need to try to achieve as much as you can. But Hashem doesn't need you. Rabbeinu doesn't need your... Hashem can bring you to humility without itbodedut. You think that you're going to be humble with itbodeduyot. Maybe itbodeduyot today is just going to make you arrogant. Maybe to look for your luggage for 3 days is going to make you more humble to receive more salvation. A lot of people are receiving that tikkun. So, to pray not to lose the luggage, to pray, to prepare prayers on that. They asked Rabbeinu on the way where to pray, if we're on the way, so to which direction to pray, if we don't sure where is Jerusalem, so to which direction to pray. So Rabbeinu told them to the direction of the luggage. Means don't be stupid to lose your luggage. Look at your luggage, look at your wallet, at your camera that you're taking, whatever. Thank you very much for that.